Suns Week and All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Mukbil Yabaro, filling in for Sonny Young. Today's show will be filled with Cricket World Cup, PGA Tour Golf, and NBA and WNBA hoop chats, and a whole lot more. Let's get into the October 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Starting off the show with some action from the Cricket World Cup in India. England's title defense at the Cricket World Cup is in real trouble with a loss to Afghanistan by 69 runs on Sunday in one of the biggest shocks in the tournament's history. The ninth-ranked Afghans celebrated only their second win at a World Cup, the other coming against Scotland in 2015 in their first appearance. England has lost two of its opening three games, having been routed by New Zealand in the tournament opener. It was Afghanistan's first ever ODI win against England. Afghanistan coach Jonathan Trott, a former England international, had this to say.
It's not just cricket that the guys are playing for. The guys are very knowledgeable of the things and the hardship that some people are going through because of the natural disaster and for various other reasons. And, so if this can give a smile to people's faces anywhere in the world, but also encourage, boys and girls to pick up a cricket bat or a cricket ball and get playing cricket wherever they are in Afghanistan, then, that's the sort of the goal that's been achieved, and that's great.
England started badly in its chase against Afghanistan with Johnny Bairstow out leg before wicket to Faisal Haq Farooqi following a review where the marginal umpire's call went against the opener. Afghanistan's spinners didn't allow England to settle down at all, and the batters couldn't even take advantage of dewy conditions under lights on what appeared a run-friendly surface. Rashid Khan trapped Liam Livingston for 10. In between Nawan al-Haq, bowled skipper Joss Butler with a brilliant in-swinger to rock English hopes. Here's what Butler had to say.
It's a big setback, obviously. Before the tournament starts, you have a different idea of how the first three games would pan out. We've got to show a lot of character, a lot of resilience within the team, and most of all, a lot of belief. There's a lot of excellent players in there, and we haven't played well enough today, but we must keep that belief.
Previous shock defeats for England at the World Cup include losing to Zimbabwe in 1992. England famously lost to Ireland in 2011 when Kevin O'Brien hit what was then the fastest World Cup century to lead the Irish to a three-wicket win. Ireland recovered from 111-5 to chase down 328. Afghanistan next play New Zealand in Chennai on Wednesday, while England faces South Africa in Mumbai on Saturday. Swinging over to the golf course, Tom Kim, the 21-year-old South Korean phenom, has become the youngest player since Tiger Woods to win three PGA Tour titles. When he was asked how he felt after winning the Shriners Children's Open for the second year in a row, he said this.
Sponsored by Shriners Children, I think that's why it's even more special because, I'm 21, I'm not the oldest guy out here, and the kids here are even younger than me. So it's really, I feel like I'm kind of close in age with them, and, if there's anything I could do just to inspire one kid out there, it's, it would mean the world, so... to repeat, it's really cool, but really this repeat was only possible because of the kids, because they inspired me so much at the start of the week, and I'm just really glad that, I kept the trophy in my hands this year again.
Golf fans around the world will be seeing this young man for years to come. Let's jump on over to the basketball court. I spoke with my colleague Action Jackson Vunganyi about the WNBA Finals and what the Las Vegas Aces and the New York Liberty need to do to win the best of five series. We also discussed the NBA trades that happened during the offseason, lottery picks, and what teams look like they could potentially dethrone the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets. Let's have a listen. Right. We're here talking hoops, WNBA, NBA preseason.
Sure.
Let me know what you want to start off with.
Let me see. Let's talk about Dam and Antetokounmpo, those two power players coming together this year, the difference they're going to make in the league. Is this the year for Dam getting finally that ring.
Dame Lillard, Dame Dalla. I think that nobody had expected Dame to end up in Milwaukee. But honestly speaking, this might be a better fit for him than where he wanted to land. Mm. He was trying to take his talents to South Beach. He was trying to join Jimmy Butler and the boys down
Jimmy
there.
Jimmy Butler was so disappointed, man. I was disappointed for him. I actually hoped that he was going to go to Miami. I'm not a big Miami fan, but I would have loved to see him down there, and I think it would have made for an exciting season, exciting, league.
I think Dame, honestly, gave so much to Portland. It's a smaller town, very quiet. Maybe he just wanted the chaos of Miami for a little bit.
Right.
He wanted
the lights, the big lights.
Wanted to be down in South Beach, having a good time. Milwaukee is unfortunately not South Beach, but on the basketball front, you're playing with arguably, actually, when they looked at it, the rankings, they just ranked the top 100 players in the NBA.
Right.
Giannis is the number one player ranked as per ESPN.
Wow.
So
he gets to play with the number one player.
You're playing with the number one player in the league right now, two-time MVP, finals MVP. Giannis is unbelievable. And I think that their playing styles complement each other.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right?
That's a great point. Their playing styles complement each other. And then him coming in at this time when Antetokounmpo, I think, is hungry this year. He has a bone to pick. He has a chip on his shoulder. Dem will come in and supplement and complement his plays. And I think they're going to do some magic.
Yeah, I think now with Dame being also their number two offensive threat after Giannis, it alleviates and lets Chris Middleton play a lesser role.
Yes.
Because I don't think Chris Middleton really fits in that second role really that well.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Drew Holiday were going back and forth.
Back
but
and
also,
forth, absolutely,
you lose out on Drew Holiday, right?
Yes.
Who is defensive player of the year caliber every year.
Mm.
And also offensively can get you about 20 points. But now you're getting potential 30-point, 40-point. Dame has had 60-point games.
Yes, absolutely.
So he can go off any night.
Prime Dame can give you 60 points.
Right. But the question now is, can Dame... Will Dame be a defensive liability?
Listen, I think this was a trade that was, I don't know, whoever designed it, this was genius. So whatever trade-offs that they're going to have on the court in terms of offensive and defensive, I think having Damian Lillard is a plus on this team. And I think we're going to see this season. They're probably going to make it to the finals if they don't win it all. That is my prediction already before the season starts in a few weeks.
I like that. That's a bold prediction. We are going to look back at October 17th,
But let's talk about, let's move on. Chris Paul now with the Warriors. Chris Paul in his late 30s. I was reading somewhere that, aside from being one of the best to ever play the game, he's also one of the best insurance salesmen. So so he has a career to fall back on. If he retires, this could be his last or final year. How many players have clocked 40? He's the Jordan caliber in some ways, physically not, but his plays are still like amazing. This role, I think this guy deserves a ring. Will he get it this year?
What do you think? It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough for Golden State to win. There's so many factors, right? I think Chris Paul, anyone who is a basketball analyst, a true analyst, will not leave Chris Paul out of a top 10 point guard all time list.
Yes.
Which is in and of itself an amazing feat, knowing that the NBA has had over thousands of players, to be top 10 in any category is unbelievable. So Chris Paul is top 10. Now, with that being said, his greater years are definitely behind him. But when you have somebody like a point guard, like a floor general such as Chris Paul, it's not so much about his physical prowess anymore. It's more about his mind.
His mental.
His mind. If Steve Kerr, Coach Steve Kerr, can get a lineup with CP, Steph Curry,
yeah.
Klay Thompson, Draymond, and maybe Andrew Wiggins in the mix. I think that's a very smaller lineup for the NBA today, but they're so fast and agile that they will make up the difference because there's so much three. Just think about that. That's a starting lineup that everybody can shoot the three ball. Yes. Granted, not on the level of Stephen Klay, but everybody, still, if you can't leave any of them
absolutely.
Open.
But again, is Chris Paul the difference maker for a championship, to get that championship?
Oh, that's a good question, man. I think, you know, with his wisdom and his knowledge of the game alone, I think he can mentor some of these younger players and basically get the best out of them. You know, he's going to still be giving his all because, like we mentioned, he's on the back end of his career. So I think he's going to try everything in his power to be, you know, similar to what Rajon Rondo did for the Lakers, in that kind of a capacity, in that kind of a role, even if he takes the role of even coming off the bench. I think he's definitely an asset more than he is a liability.
Absolutely.
So I think it'll be great to see what he can do.
If I was coach, I would build the bench around him.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, get guys who are just complimenting his style.
Yeah.
And then bring them in at times when the first five are kind of tearing down. Bring them in, you know, mess things up a little bit for the other team. Just having Chris Paul on the court, I'm sure, has something, you know, it does something to the other team. I mean, this guy is a legend, one of the best to ever touch the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, we like to think about great players in terms of rings and as such. But really, when you look at Chris Paul player, there's no doubt this guy is one of the best to ever have handled. Let's move on. Ja Morant is out 25 games when the season starts. You know, with his gun shenanigans, he's on suspension. He's really, this kid had so much going for him and he made some really bad decisions. I think it's, you know, probably the people that are surrounding him did not give him the right advice. And now it's about, of course, the Grizzlies. You know, the Grizzlies were one of, you know, the most exciting teams to watch. And now you know, he's going to be out 25 games. I don't know. I don't see the depth in that roster that will actually make up for his absence. And if they get in the hall in the first 25 games, it will be tough for them to catch up.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about the Grizzlies is that, they are a team that oddly, even in stretches when Ja Morant was out, they still played relatively well. You know, sometimes it all depends on your schedule. And maybe they lucked out in the games that he was out. They were playing, you know, lesser, like, you know, opponents that maybe the team could kind of just, you know, get away with.
Mm.
25 games is, you can't hide in 25 games. So your true colors will show for sure. But I think with them having, you know, guys like Derrick Rose. The thing about D. Rose is a very similar style player to a Ja Morant,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Granted, you know, after multiple knee surgeries and stuff, he's no longer the D. Rose that he once was. But he's shown us glimpses of when you start with him and give him the ball, you know, he still can get you easy 25
absolutely.
Points, you know?
Absolutely.
So if D. Rose is the floor general that we know he is, as much as he loves to win, if he kind of can coast this team, even in a 25-game capacity, maybe get them to even 500 and win. Maybe,
without getting hurt.
Yeah, right, without getting hurt, right. Win 13 games, maybe lose 12. I'm not bad with that. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
They will still somehow be in the maybe bottom tier of the West. Maybe, like I would say, in that playoff contention, 7th, 8th position.
Mm.
If they can stay in that range, they'll be all right, you know.
To Kyrie Irving and Luka.
Oh, my gosh. One of the most exciting and electrifying duos.
This is going to be the second year playing, correct?
Yes, sir.
And, I mean, last year, you know, we're saying they're kind of still learning each other's styles.
Right.
You know, Kyrie's, you know, off a really
antics.
Terrible year with his antics and stuff.
Yeah.
But this year.
Oh, yeah. No, the thing I like about it as well is, you know, like the Dallas Mavericks, you know, they have Mark Cuban, you know. Mark Cuban is one of the most hands-on owners in the league, right? This guy is somebody who understands what it means to make sure that his team is really feeling like a team, right? Mm-hmm. These guys went on a trip, if I'm not mistaken, you know, together, collectively. I believe they went to, like, Dubai or something. I was looking on socials.
Yeah. Like, some team building.
They're having team building exercises, making sure everybody's getting to know each other really on a friendship level, because when you really are going, you know, sometimes basketball in an NBA season, it's like going to war with the guys. You go on the road together.
Yes.
You spend more time with these guys than your family
Absolutely.
Sometimes. So you don't want to be around guys that you really are not comfortable being around.
Like,
you don't like these guys.
Yes.
Right, exactly. So I think,
so
you know,
build a rapport. Build that chemistry.
He's doing the right thing.
Yes.
Put them together, you know, take these trips and travel and have these guys really enjoy spending time together. I believe even I seen a clip one time where they were literally in a desert playing Xbox.
Oh, wow.
In the desert.
That's awesome.
You know, so stuff like is going to showcase Mark Cuban's genius,
Mark Cuban,
man. He's Mark Cuban for a reason, you know? Spent countless minutes now talking without even mentioning Wemby. Wemby, man. Wemby's averaging 21 points. Listen, 21 points.
Like, you read my mind.
That's where we're synced in, man. You know, Wemby is averaging 21 points a game on like 20 minutes of playing in the preseason right now.
It's crazy.
I seen a play where he was ball handling, brought the ball up to half, got it to the three-point line, kicked it out to the right, let his teammate know he wanted a lob. Then he took off from the dotted semicircle, and his entire body was still outside of the restricted area, and he dunked it.
Wow.
7'4", agility.
Amazing. Yes.
Understands the game. He's fluid.
He's fluid.
Very much like a taller Kevin Durant.
Basketball IQ at that age is crazy. Like, I was really impressed.
The only thing I can say about this kid is I hope to God he can stay healthy.
Yes, because
if the kid can stay. Honestly speaking, we've seen KD in the league for how many years now, and he really hasn't put on weight.
Right.
If he can just stay healthy, I think this kid is a problem. Because the Spurs also, what they're doing, Greg Popovich, another great basketball mind, he's letting him flow.
Yes.
He's letting this kid show him, hey, this is preseason, right? Mm. This is what I'm
show
great
us
at.
What you're about.
This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Let's build around this
yes.
kid. The San Antonio Spurs had an abysmal year last year.
Terrible year. Yeah.
But look, just within 1 year, what a turnaround.
The turnaround,
to get a generational talent.
Yes, of that caliber, too.
This kid is amazing, man.
Absolutely.
So I'm interested to see what they do with this kid, man.
Again, the season is about to start. We'll see. Sometimes we've seen kids come in and you know, they show these flourishes of genius.
Mm-hmm.
And when prime time comes, mm-hmm. they choke.
Yeah.
Wembanyama, I don't think he's that kid. I think there's something to this kid that is against once in a generation type player.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really excited for him to see. I'm excited to see what he does this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, one take that I think people are really kind of not necessarily talking about, because he's a young fellow that, you know, you may have mentioned him in the same kind of capacity. Zion Williamson, right? Who was this phenom coming out of high school, then, you know, went to Duke and was just huge and sensational, right, in that respect. Then he comes to play in the league and really doesn't have the results that we expected.
Yes.
He's in New Orleans,
puts
on some weight, and doesn't really, and he's kind of injury ridden. I seen Zion Williamson this offseason, lost weight.
Yeah.
He looks lighter.
Yeah.
He looks faster. Looks like he's back to high school. I wouldn't say high school weight, but maybe college weight.
Yes.
He has something to prove. I seen him in the past couple of games in the preseason, putting up 15, 16 points, playing only like half the game as well. It's not like he's playing the entire game, right? So, man, look to see, you know, Zion, even last year when he started the season, was putting up numbers before he got hurt.
Absolutely.
So it's never about his production.
Yeah.
It's about stay healthy.
Yeah, can he stay healthy, yes.
If he keeps this weight off and he can stay healthy, Zion Williamson is in conversation for most improved player.
Absolutely.
I'm calling this right now.
100%. 100%.
Lastly, before we jump out, you know, we kind of jumped into the NBA preseason.
Yeah.
WNBA is underway. The finals are underway. The Las Vegas Aces have won two games out of the best of five series. They are 2-1 right now against the New York Liberty. At the moment, I think, you know, the excitement behind women's sports in general is coming out to the level that we want for the women.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's long overdue. Absolutely long, long overdue. Let's talk about pay. Let's talk about TV rights. Let's talk about, you know, the players that deserve to be paid as much as everybody else. But for the longest time, they have remained the underdogs in terms of the money. You know, they're making money for their teams, but they're not making
money for themselves.
And that's really sad. So I like to see this excitement. This is a good moment. I hope that we can capitalize on it as a sports community, you know, that we do not have these double standards. The fact that we are paying some players $100 million a contract, and then we're paying one $1 million per contract just because they're women.
At
and
best.
When you look at the level of
at
play,
best.
Really. At best. And you
right.
know what I'm saying?
The top players in the WNBA are probably making a mil or a couple mil.
Such
on their,
a crazy double standard, man. I hope it stops and, you know.
We personally, though, I think it's our responsibility to highlight their game so that more people are excited about the game as well. Because the more eyes that are on the game, you know, this is where ad revenue and this is where the money is generated
Absolutely.
From. So if,
and listen, if you're not watching women's sports,
you got to get
women's
it together.
Basketball.
You got to get it together.
Absolutely. Because the level, even in soccer,
the
even level's in basketball,
amazing.
The
amazing.
Level is amazing. These people, the women are playing like, I was looking at Caitlin, the girl from Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing in front of a stadium of about 55,000.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, yep.
Man, like
she's a baller.
A baller.
Oh my goodness! I'm telling you, the thing, the time of the time when regular Joe Schmo thought that he can beat a woman athlete that plays in any sport.
Yeah.
That is not today.
This is not today.
It never was. They had this misconception, you know. But today, more than ever, you are seeing the skill level of these women. They're literally, you know. Bar none, the elite players, man, they're surpassing all the expectations people put
Absolutely.
Them for.
To draw a little juxtaposition on that, it's like, remember when we were watching, you know, Europe and Africans playing basketball, and
yes.
you're like, there's no way the caliber of basketball is so below, da 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 da.
Right, right.
And now I was watching, was it the Mavericks play against a team in Spain, and they were
Real Madrid.
Yeah,
oh, they beat them.
Madrid.
Oh yeah, they beat them. Man, Luca was sitting because you know Luca used to play for Real back in the day.
Yes.
So Luca was sitting there like, man, my old team beat my new team. This is crazy.
You know, again. I think there has been an elevation of the game all around, regardless of sex.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know, it's maybe the more exposure, better infrastructure, training.
I think so many of these.
The demystification of this idea that only one group of people can play the game versus the other, things of that nature. I think if you train, whether you're man or woman, mm-hmm. regardless, you know, physicality,
mm-hmm.
like if you have the, if you have access to mm-hmm. facilities to play starting from a young age,
right.
I think in your later years, you do much better than, you know, if you just started the game.
Interestingly enough, too, now a lot of these younger, maybe high school, college, young girls, some of the women already that are in the league now, WNBA, are more athletic as well because, you know, the times are changing. More athletic. So the game is even in perspective to even like dunking, right? Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, the dunk used to just be for the women,
yes.
a very slight dunk.
Yes.
Now the dunks are getting crazy.
Absolutely.
So now I think, you know, the dunk aspect of the game in basketball in particular has added an extra entertainment value for mm-hmm. people. So now that if this stuff starts happening more and more, if a regular guard or a forward can just come down and bang on somebody, that's going to add more flair.
Yeah,
there
exactly,
we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, my man Jackson, it's always a pleasure to have you, brother.
Always a pleasure, my brother.
Thank you for being with me here today. Heading over to the Zambian capital, Lusaka, my colleague Paul Ndiho interviews Onyeji Zani. He's a self-taught professional roller skater from Lusaka making waves in the skating world. Despite the challenges in the city streets, he is using innovative technology to bring this sport to life. Zani's skills have made him an internet star. He has represented Zambia in international competition and uses his expertise to train other roller skaters in Zambia and beyond.
It started out as a hobby for you going to school, but you've since turned this passion into a sport where you have signed up young people across the country. Bring us up to speed.
Ever since a friend of mine taught me how to skate, I've been striving to keep up with the skill and also practice with the same skill within my community. So every time after practicing or during practicing, there's always this attraction of the sport to bring people to join. So apart from that also, I've seen people wanting to be recruited in the skating business. And with that, I can say it has brought a lot of people, not only within Lusaka where I stay, but also people out of Lusaka in different other provinces. People who roller skate, that they get in touch with me. I do help them with some videos, just use them as a reference point for them to learn more about roller skating and also link ups when they come within the capital city of Zambia in Lusaka. We have an opportunity to skate together.
What does it take to be a terrific roller skater?
As for me, I can say I've been skating for more than 19 years. So it's not something that it's gradual. Or everyone who would hear my opinion would say it's difficult because they'll say I've been skating for a long time. But it is not that difficult. It is actually easy. It's not scary because people think of the falling part as the first element when they say roller skating, even skateboarding. So with that phobia, they tend to shy away and say, I don't want to learn anything that will hit me. We all know during any learning lesson, doesn't matter what sport it is, there are always challenges and there are always failures. You fall, you will have challenges and problems at some point, which I'm not saying that you actually cease to do the sport if you have all those fallings. They're just minor. Then afterwards, you eventually improve and progress. So on my part, until now, I would say I do fall when I'm trying something way more extreme. But knowing that if I do not try that, I won't become a better roller skater. Same with my students, whom I teach in Zambia. They are good skaters, but with more have them having intrinsic motivation, they have managed to excel even way better than me.
How many people have you trained this far?
Let me approximate. So approximately now, say maybe 600 plus. Because aside from me doing the club training with people within my community, I also do offer like private lessons. So for the private lessons, there are many. And over the years, which I was also using for the sake of my fundraising at school, by the University of Zambia, as you know, I was never accommodated there. I was roller skating, going and coming back. That was also part of my marketing, that people would see me of skating and therefore they want some lessons. And through that, I would divide my time during my education time with also my lesson time that people come for private lessons, and I would use that as a fundraising adventure.
So if I hear you correctly, you've already inspired hundreds of young people across Zambia. And these are people who are doing it for fun and at a professional level.
True. I would say, yes, that's true. Because majority of them, they have improved their skills. Even the babies, the ones that teach, they were young when we were starting. But if you see how many years, about 5 years passed, they have been so good that they are even better than some of the big guys who are joining recently, and they've maintained their skills so abruptly.
Is this something where people pay a fee, or it's one of those things where you offer to the community?
With that, I would say it's divided into two sectors or two parts. So for the community part, I do not charge any amount from them. I don't charge them any amount. They actually come to my club and they learn for free. So far, openly, I would say there's a company called Six Light Media that have helped us to purchase, some outfits, some protectors, helmets, and also gloves, inclusive some roller skating shoes, which we normally now use on a daily basis to empower some of the kids, not only in the compound that I stay. There are like different other six compounds which I am running and influencing within Lusaka and also out of Lusaka.
Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you so much for having me.
In Olympic news, Oscar-winning actor Michelle Yeoh, a former junior champion squash player, has been elected a member of the International Olympic Committee. She was among nine new members selected to join 100 other sports officials, political and business leaders. IOC members' duties include approving recommended candidates to be future Olympic Games hosts. Members at the IOC meeting in Mumbai unanimously voted in Cecilia Tate, a congresswoman in Peru and a three-time Olympian in volleyball. Tate helped Peru's women's take silver at the 1988 Seoul Olympics. The first Israeli to win an Olympic medal, Yael Ared, also was elected Tuesday. Now president of Israel's National Olympic Body, she took silver in judo at the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. Other new members include Hungarian government sports executive Balázs Fejér and officials from Germany, Michael Mronz, and Tunisia, Mehrez Busaini. Two recently elected presidents of governing bodies in Olympic sports got memberships. Petra Sirling of Sweden from table tennis and Kim Jae-yul of South Korea from the International Skating Union. And that's a wrap for the October 17th edition of the show. Hope you all have a great day. I'm Muck Bill Yabaro in Washington, in for Sun.